If you would grab your Bibles, open to Psalm 73. Psalm chapter 73. Some of you that have maybe been saved for a while, you ever asked yourself, why do we do this? Why are we in church? Why am I reading my Bible? Why do I serve the Lord? Why? You ever asked yourself that? What's the point of it? When there's so many people that just go out there and they just live for themselves, do whatever they want, it seems like they have all the fun and we have no fun. You ever asked yourself that? Can you be honest? I could say I have. See, why is it like that? Why do they get to do these things and we don't? And how come I this and I that? And I look at everything the world does. I'm looking at the Budweiser commercials and they're having so much fun and they're not doing bad. They're not bad people. Why can't I? Asaph asked himself something like that. He's the man that wrote Psalm 73. If you're there, it's in verse 1. He says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Because God's good to them, those with a clean heart. But as for me, you know what he says? But as for me, and I'm going to read this verse here, and I'll just about guarantee I'm describing somebody in here. I don't know who, but I'll about guarantee somebody in here is right here. I hope not. I don't want it to be that way, but usually that's how it is. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I was almost done. I'm done with you, God. I'm done with leading the music here. I'm done serving you. I'm looking at all these wicked people and everything's going good for them. And here I am serving you. Doing what you've called me to do. Doing what you've asked me to do. Doing what your word says I ought to do. And I'm struggling. And I'm having a hard time. He said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The pictures of like backsliding. He said, I'm climbing up the mountain and I'm slipping. I have no traction. I'm about done. I'm about out of here. I'm going to quit. And there might be somebody in here like that today. Oh, the world's too enticing. I'm missing out. Look at the prosperity of the wicked. Look at everything that they have. Why can't I get some of that? Is it so wrong for me to want some of what they have? Is it so wrong for me to want the good things in life? Are we allowed to talk about this stuff? Because whether we do or not, people feel this way. It's staggering when you look at the statistics. I might be wrong on this. I was watching a DVD of this the other day as a man's presentation. But I think if I remember right, he said something like 4,000 churches close their doors every year, 2,000, I forget. I think it was 2,000 churches and 4,000 pastors quit every year. How many, if 4,000 pastors are quitting every year, then how many people in the pews quit every year? Why? Because I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, and here I am serving God, and what gives? What's the big deal? And I know the so-called spiritual person will say, well, you just serve God anyway. Okay, that's great. Yeah, you should. Till you're the one struggling and you're right there facing it and looking, well, what do I do? I don't know. I've been dealing with this for, you know, a year. And I'm not saying I have personally. I'm just saying, you know, the person's thinking, I've been dealing with this for a year, been fighting it and working against this. So what do I do? I know I should be spiritual. I've been trying to be spiritual for the last year and just keep doing what I know I'm supposed to do. And let me tell you, that's the advice I'd give you. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. But get in your back into your walk with God. Amen. Start reading your Bible. I guarantee you stopped. Right. 99% of the time they stopped. You stopped reading your Bible. You stopped praying, all of that. So get back into those things. But when you're there and you're struggling and you're looking at all this and you're saying, I was serving you, God. I was doing all these things and it just seems everything's just piling up on me. I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. That means they're in their death and what they're walking. There's nothing there binding them, holding them. They get to do whatever they want. Their strength is firm all the way to the end. They stay just living this wicked, evil lifestyle. They're strong to the end. He says, and I saw this, and as for me, I was almost gone. My feet were almost gone. I'd well nigh slipped. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. You ever known those people? It's like, whatever they do. Like, man, they can, you know, kill 5 people and they get away with it. You're like, what? How does this happen? I mean, this guy robbed 3 banks and he's just off on parole for, you know, or out on probation for 3 months. Beat his wife, almost killed his children. This guy's going free. What in the world is going on here? People that I've known people that get like the greatest jobs ever. I'm like, man, I would love to have a job like that. They get this awesome job, and then they blow it, they lose it, they quit, they don't show up on time. I mean, they're making, you know, 6 figures a year, you know, greatest job ever, and then they fall into another job even better than that. Like, what? How does this happen? You look at this stuff and you're thinking, what in the world is going on here? They're not plagued like other men. Verse 6, therefore, because of that, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Everything that their eyes see, it stands out with fatness. They're, I want it, 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 I want it. And they get it. They have all of it. And Asaph's standing there and he's like, God, I'm here serving you. And I can barely put food on the table. What gives? I'm done. I'm done, Lord. I can't handle this anymore. It's too much for me. This is what he's saying. Man, this is real life. This is Bible right here. It's real life. But we just read through this and we just skip over all this stuff and we don't think it's an actual person and we don't put it to just down on the bottom shelf where everyone can get it. But this is where people are at. And this is how people think. And you're not alone in it if you've thought this. I have. I have asked myself, why? Why are we doing this? Why do we hold to the standards that we hold to? Why is it? How come we dress the way we dress? I know lots of people that dress immodestly and do all these other sorts of things. They're not evil people. So why do we have to hold this standard up? Why can't we just do what we want? Why? Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They're corrupt. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They stand against God. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? There's a sarcastic tone in that. How does God know? We can do what we want. He doesn't know what we're doing. There's no knowledge in the Most High. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Man, I think of all the politicians we've got in this country. All the politicians we've got in this country. I don't care what office they hold, even if it's president. You think, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He says, I can't say anything, I'm offending somebody. He says, all the day long I've been plagued, chastened every morning. I've cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. He says, I've lived the good life all my life. I stayed out of the stuff I shouldn't have been involved in. I did the things I should have. And all for what? Why? When the wicked gets to do whatever they want and they have what they want. So why should I continue serving you, God? What's the point? There's no point in this. Why are we doing this? Why are you here this morning? Why are we sitting here? What's the point in all of this? Why don't we just quit and just go home? Why are we wasting our time reading a book that was written over 2,000 years ago? Why do we waste our time with all of this? Let's just quit. Let's be done. Telling fairy tales to our children. Why? Why? Why should we do this? Let's see what Asaph says. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He says, I thought about all this. It was too much for me. He says, I was going to quit. I was done. I couldn't handle it. I didn't want to think about it anymore. I couldn't stand looking at the prosperity of the wicked, and I didn't have that. You know what Asaph has and what we have? We got an eye problem. Pride. Pride. It's all about me and what I want. That was Asaph's problem. I want this. I want that. We're not willing to sacrifice anything for God. God doesn't promise we're going to have material blessings in this life. But that's why this world is not my home. Amen. That's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We're pilgrims here. We're strangers here. We're part of a heavenly kingdom. We've got to get our eyes off of ourselves. What helped Asaph is the same thing that'll help us. Let's look at the next verse. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Amen. Why are we here? Why? Why, when we got saved, God didn't just say, come on up. Why? Because we're here as His ambassadors. Amen. He says, I have something more for you to do. He said, you are needed here. I saw the end of the wicked. I saw where they were going to go. I saw that they were going to go to a devil's hell. Then I understood. He said, God, then it made sense to me once I went into your sanctuary, when I stepped in there and I realized they don't know any of this. They don't have the forgiveness that I have. Amen. They know nothing of that. They go seeking it in all these other sorts of ways. They go try and find it through meditation, through yoga, through alcohol, through drugs. That's how they're seeking this stuff, through religion to appease their conscience, because they know they do evil. Because they know it. Then I understood. When I knew what their end was, when I knew they were going to end up in hell, that's why. That's why. What we teach isn't fairy tales, it's truth. Amen. But that's what they will tell us. Why are you teaching your kids fairy tales? Why are you lying to them? Why are you following fairy tales? Amen. Why are you following lies? See, when we understand their end, it can change our perspective. It can change the way we live. because we'll realize, here's why I sacrifice. Here's why I don't do that. Here's why I don't live that way. Here's why I serve the Lord. Here's why I dress the way I dress. So I can be a godly testimony to that lost person. Amen. I forget who said it, but you know, they said, you know, something along these lines, you know, live right because you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Look, if you're going to live like the devil, live in sin, stop telling people you're saved.
Amen.
Stop telling them you're saved. Stop. Just please stop. If you're going to live in wickedness, just stop telling people that you love the Lord and you're saved. Because if you are saved, you're living like you're following your father, the devil. Or like you're following the devil. He's not your father if you're saved. But if you're saved, why are you doing that? Stop. See, because they are waiting for us. They need us. This is why Asaph understood. This is what he understood. He said, I understood their end. They're going to die and go to hell. How many people say, I won't go to church because those hypocrites there? They got good reason sometimes. So when we understand their end, it can purify our life. That's what we need. We need a pure life. We need to live a holy life so we can be a good example to them. Don't fall into the trap at work of joking around with all the guys at work and laughing at the filth that they laugh at. Don't joke with them. Let them think you're rude. Who cares? Rather than you partaking of their evil deeds. Let them think you think you're better than them. Is it true? No, you know it's not. Say, I'm not going to partake of that stuff. Just call them out on it. Just tell them. Start calling it sin. Let them know where you stand. They might not agree with you, but I'll promise you this, they'll respect you. Amen. They will respect you. See, if we can finally see their end, the wicked's end, it'll purify our lives and we'll understand why we're here. Because God didn't just take you once you got saved. God left you here to reach somebody. You can reach people I'll never reach. I can't. They won't listen to me, but they'll listen to you. You can reach them, and I can't. And the person sitting next to you can reach people that you can't, that you'll never be able to. Because they're not going to have influence with them, but you will. Unless you destroy it. See, Asaph was having a pity party, and I've been there, I've done that. He was feeling sorry for himself. How come they get this and they get that and I don't? And I'm living like this and they're wicked and they get all these great things, everything their eye wants, they have. You know, I mean, they've got the boat, they've got the RV, they've got the two-story house. You know, they've got everything they want. And I got nothing and I'm struggling here. I can barely make ends meet. There's more month than money. Been there? Hate those months. Those ones aren't fun, are they? But Asaph said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely, here's the reality of where they're at. Thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. They're in slippery places and they don't even realize it, but we're settled on the rock. Amen! We're on the rock. Steady and sure. And we can help them. We can reach them. We need to reach them. We need to help them. That's why we're here. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Stop and think about what the end means for them. Go with me to Revelation 21, if you would, please. Revelation 21:7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers you You know, the unbelieving or those that don't believe that God, believe God when He says that they're His enemy. That's the unbelieving. They say, oh no, God's too loving and kind. He wouldn't do that. They're unbelieving. God said it. They don't believe it. The unbelieving. The abominable, murderers. If you've hated somebody, even if just for 2 seconds, you're a murderer in God's eyes. You are a murderer, and God's talking about you right here. And whoremongers, if you're sleeping around with somebody, you are a whoremonger. Even if you're married, if it's not your spouse, you are a whoremonger, period. There's no getting around that. And sorcerers. It's like, well, that's not anybody here. See, we're playing around with drugs.
Right.
Practicing sorcery. Pharmakia. That's what it's talking about right there. Are there witches sitting in here? And idolaters. Certainly not us. There's no golden calf sitting here. What's my go-to golden calf? Where is it? Where is that thing? What do I do with it? My daughter has it. I see, I don't know where my golden calf is. Toss that up here. Just go and throw it to me. It's all broken anyway. This isn't my golden calf, but this is some people's golden calf in our society today. You're not supposed to throw golden calves. All right? You don't do that. Man, if I don't know what's going on everyone's life on Facebook, I don't know what to do with myself. I got to have my idol I come to that I spend more time in than the Bible.
Right.
I might miss something. I might miss something that's nothing because it's all mostly nothing. Wow, you ate dinner. Cool. I'm glad. So did we. Man, you washed your car. That's amazing. All right. It's raining at your house. Hey, it's raining here too. Idolatry. And idolaters and all liars. That is certainly nobody here. We'll just skip that one. No, we won't. I don't need to know any of you, and I know you're a liar. Boy, you tell people that, they get all mad at you. When they tell me they're not a liar, I'll look them in the face and I'll say, you're lying to me right now.
Right.
Let me call your mom. I've told them that before. So let's call your mom. They're like, well, maybe. Oh, yeah, yeah, because mama's going to tell the truth. Unless she's one of those moms, a helicopter mom or something. All right, let's move past that. I know we're supposed to be teaching on the family this morning. We'll get to that next week. I just felt the Lord leading in a different way on my drive down here this morning as I was driving here. So that's why we're looking at this. And all liars. What does it say about these fearful, these unbelieving, these abominable, these murderers, these whoremongers, these sorcerers, these idolaters, these liars? What are they going to get? They're going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. A lake of fire. See, we just read that. I've read that verse. I've heard that verse probably thousands of times. I said, oh yeah, the lake of fire. You ever burnt yourself? You ever burnt yourself? You ever had it blister up? You poke it and all that clear liquid comes out. And that thing's just every time your heart beats, you maybe just burn your finger. Your whole arm's just like in just throbbing pain. Every time your heart beats, just woo, woo, woo. That's how it feels for me. I don't know how it feels for you guys, but I'm like, man, when I burn myself, it's just like woo, woo, woo. I mean, I've had my hand just stuck in ice before, ice water. And I take it out, and I can handle about 2 seconds worth, and I'm like, that thing's got to go right back in there. Burnt myself. I'm not always the smartest person around. I'm a little dumb sometimes, and I got to learn things the hard way. It was like the first time I was grilling. I didn't know how. And it was at the apartments we lived at, and there was a charcoal grill. And I'm a smart guy, I'm telling you. All right? Because I got that thing going, and I was like, man, it's not like the charcoal hadn't lit all the way, you know? So smart guy that I am, I'm just like, let me just grab this grill grate and lift it off so I can mess with this. And yeah, I did. I got it off. And I grabbed it and I was, and I threw that thing down and it burnt my hand and I had to finish cooking the hamburgers with a burnt hand. I had a bag of ice. I'd be like, stick it in that. And I'd be like, over here. And man, that it was just horrible, horrible. Throbbing, throbbing, throbbing every time my heart beat. And I honestly grabbed it for maybe about 3 seconds at the most. 3 seconds. And now we're talking about eternity in a lake of fire.
Right.
Look, if you're in here and you're lost, that's where you're going.
Amen.
God will send you straight to hell. He'll send you straight to hell. And you deserve it.
Amen.
I deserve it.
Amen.
It's a lake of fire. It's a lake of fire. That there's no escape. Turn to Luke, if you would, please. Luke 16, verse 19. Brother Brad mentioned this story here. Luke 16, 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Wasn't Asaph talking about this guy? Isn't this who Asaph was talking about? Man, he's got everything. He fared sumptuously every day. Everything his eyes see, they're filled with fatness. He gets it. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And here's old Asaph rolling up. Lazarus. Filled with sores. Sitting at his gate. And Lazarus desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. This guy is starving. He's got sores all over his body, probably leaking pus and everything else. I mean, he's got it bad in this life. Just horrible life. And he's sitting there, I imagine he's just sprawled out, just laying on the floor because he don't have energy. And he's just imagining, oh, I wish I could just eat from the trash bin of this guy. Just the crumbs that fall on the floor, I wish I could just have just one crumb. I'm so hungry. My stomach's just aching and hurting. And this is where he's at. This is where he's sitting, and the rich man fares sumptuously. He's desiring to eat off the crumbs from this man's table. It says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He's so bad, he doesn't even have the energy to shoo the dogs away. The dogs come up and just start licking the pus coming out of his sores. Dogs, wild dogs just licking him. You know, you put yourself in a situation like this where you're starving and things like that. And at first, you know, you'd be in that situation and you'd have some pride about you. And you'd be like, no, get these dogs away. None of us are going to let some dogs just start licking on us. We'd get away. What are you doing? Get away, these dogs. And then you just get worn down and worn down. You have no energy, no food, and you're just laying there. And the sores are getting worse. You're not getting any better. You don't have food, any sustenance to keep your body healthy, for your body to even be able to fight off any infection or anything like that. And the sores just keep getting worse. And you get another one and another one and another one. And you're scratching and they hurt and they're painful. And you feel them all over your body and the pus is coming out of them. And you're just disgusting. People look at you and they're just, ugh, get away from that guy. And they cross the street and go to the other side and want nothing to do with you. Just stay. That's sick. That's so disgusting. What's wrong with you? Get a job, you bum. Dying. And the dogs show up today again, and you don't have the energy to shoo them away. So you just lay there, dying. So the dogs come up and start licking the pus off of your sores. And the rich man's gate opens up, and he drives by and he tells his servants, he's like, get this guy out of here. I'm sick of him coming here. And he just takes off on his way. Now you're that Lazarus. That's you in your sin, by the way. Helpless and hopeless. Not able to do anything to help yourself. You're at that point, you're so sick, you can't do anything. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. What a difference. Oh my, oh my. How we view things in this life. How we view what we think is valuable in this life. Who cares what the newest, dumbest celebrity is doing? Who cares?
Amen.
I'm glad I don't even know who they are anymore. I know the ones from like 10, 20, 30 years ago. Those are the ones I know. But who cares about these other losers? They just lump them in with the losers I know about. Who cares? They got divorced. Wow, big shock. Wasn't expecting that one. You know, someone had an affair. Oh, okay. Who was it with? Oh, with the latest, you know, co-actress, co-actor. I wonder why that happened when they're making out in every scene. Wonder why that happened. That's funny. Who cares? We want to follow after vanity, things that do not matter. We're like Asaph. We've got our eyes off of God, and we're so focused on the things of this world. They've got this, and they got that, and they got this, and how come I don't have this? How come I can't do that? Why can't I go here? Why can't I do that? Wah, 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 wah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, I know so-and-so does this. Who cares what so-and-so does?
Right.
Kids, help yourself. Don't tell your parents that.
Right.
Don't tell your parents that. And I don't care what so-and-so does. I don't care what their parents let them do. They're not my kid.
Amen.
I care about you. If they go jump off a cliff, you're not going with them. Because you probably would jump too. So no, you can't. But you got Lazarus and the rich man. They both die, and what a difference it is. Lazarus, or the rich man's life focused on vanity, the vain things of this world, meaningless, empty things that don't matter. Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? Who cares?
Amen.
Who cares? Does it matter? Someone might know. Who cares? Who's the UFC champion right now? Who cares? Who cares? And now we want to train women to beat each other's faces in? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And some of you might be thinking, man, this church is nuts. You can't even watch someone bash each other's face in? Man, they're nuts out here. What's wrong with these people? They're against that too. Let me just help some of you out. If it's new, all right, I'm against it. I'm just telling you, if it's new, I'm against it. Think, what? Some people don't like that. I've heard preachers say that, and they're like, oh, that sounds foolish. I'm honest to God, truth. If it's new, I'm against it until I know. But almost everything new that comes out is evil. I mean, you guys saw those toys they had coming out a few years ago at like Family Dollars, I think. It was like a little pink wand. And you peel back the little mask on it, and I forget what it was saying, something evil, but it's got a little picture of a devil on the underside of it. Well, first off, it was a magic wand. That should have been clue number one. But, you know, they make it pink and pretty and the girls all want it. And then there's a devil behind it. You guys think there's a devil behind everything. Hey, sometimes there is. Watch out now.
Amen.
Sometimes there is. Man, my heart's so burdened. I'm burdened for people here. That we don't fall for the lies and traps of the devil. I'm burdened that my children don't. Because he's so good at what he does. And he'll put you in that snare. A snare is a trap for birds that they can't get out of. He'll put you in that snare and you won't even realize it. And you'll be happy in there. You're like, I have liberty! as you're trapped. By the chains and bondage of sin, the devil knew it was going to happen, and he lured you and tempted you into it, but you think you're okay. And the fact of the matter is, you're not. You're not okay. But this rich man had everything he wanted. He had nothing but vanity. And look at the difference in their deaths. It says when Lazarus died, why? He was a saved man. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's just a place of comfort. You think of someone's bosom. When a young child falls and hurts themselves, what do? They come running to mommy or daddy. And what do? Anna, come here. Come on up here. What do when they hurt themselves? They want to come running right in. Right into mommy or daddy's bosom. To feel loved. Go ahead. To feel comforted. To feel peace. That's where Lazarus was taken. To Abraham's bosom. And the contrast between him and the rich man, it just says, and the rich man died. He died. Almost as if, doesn't matter. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh my, verse 23. And in hell, immediately. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. I'm going to party in hell with all my buddies. No. You tell yourself that lie. You follow after that idol you've made up in your head. Yeah. The devil will let you believe it all the way. He'll say, yeah, that's right. He'll send people towards you that'll tell you, yep, we're going to live it up. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. I'm going to live how I want to. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh my, the consciousness and the reality of those that are in hell right now, what they know and what they can see. They wish they could hear the word repent. They believe in repentance. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham! Oh, see, now he wants to get religious. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He said, just dip the tip of his finger in some water because I'm so tormented. It's so bad. This is what he wanted. He said, just that right there. I just want that little drop. Please. Please, Abraham, it's so bad here. I can't stand it. Just send Lazarus for just one drop. Just one. It's the reality of hell. Torment. You think, how could a loving God do that? That's what people say. How could a loving God do that to somebody? Well, he died for everyone. If you rejected the sacrifice of his son, you deserve it. He made the payment for you, but you said, no, I don't want that payment. I'll pay it myself. He's not doing it. You did it to yourself. You rejected him. You rejected the offer that he made you. You said, I don't want that. I'll take care of it myself. I'll go party. I'm not ready to stop partying yet. I want my sin. I love my sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Say, I'm going to cling to this. While others said, like Lazarus, I'm going to cling to the old rugged cross. Praise God, because I know what that means. That means payment and forgiveness of all of my sins. Praise God for that. I came to Him broken down on my knees, realizing that if He gave me what I deserved, I'd go to the lake of fire for all of eternity. Said, I don't want to ever experience that. God, save me. God, forgive me. I didn't come to him saying, God, forgive me only if you do this. No. There was repentance. I was broken. And I came to God on His terms, not mine. Not because some church I grew up in teaches this, and they can't be wrong. There's such nice people there. The devil's got some nice people following him. They're called angels of light. They're his ministers, and they're devils sitting in pulpits just like this, lying to people, leading them straight to hell. They can be wrong. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they're of God. How do you try them? Do they measure up with the book? Do they measure up with the Word of God? That's how you know. That's the only way we know. If not, it can be whatever I want, and I make up my own God, because there is no standard. There's nothing to stand by. Man, the devil's Jesus' brother, and we're all going to heaven. Why can't it be? Why can't it be? I'm going to be a God. I'll be over Jesus. I'll be over Jesus. I didn't really need him. I'll do it myself. I'm a good person. I'll let my good works outweigh my bad. I'm going to blow myself up so I can have all these virgins. Why can't it be? If there is no standard, it can be whatever I want it to be. You got to come to God on His terms. And His terms start off with you realizing and recognizing you're His enemy. He'll throw you right into hell. Amen. He'll throw you in there. He's not going to apologize for it. He's not going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. He's going to grab you by the back of your collar right here, and he's going to say, bye. How could you say something so mean? Because that's what he's going to do. Amen. You rejected his son. He's going to say, how dare you? How dare you rejected my son? Get out of here. Boom. He died for you. He died to pay for all of your sins. How dare you? You want to stay my enemy? What do you do if you're in war? What do you do if the enemy's charging? Well, what do you do? Isaiah, come stand over there. Someone else will cover the camera. Isaiah, stand right back there. All right, me and Isaiah are enemies. Stand right there. Me and Isaiah are enemies, okay? We spot each other. We got our rifles pulled, aimed on each other. Pretend you got a rifle. Get that killer look in your eye. I mean, just be like... All right, you got to make, all right. He's got that killer look, and I see him, and I got my rifle, and I raise it up, and we're enemies, and we're fighting, and I mean, the battle's on. Bombs are blowing up next to us and everything, and I see him like, there's my mortal enemy. Come give me a hug. Do we do that? No. No, but that's what people think Jesus is going to do. Go ahead, son. That's what people think God's going to do. What do you do with an enemy? Man, I'm going to put three in his chest. Pow, 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 pow. Next. I'm going to take out my enemy. See, a loving God wouldn't do that. He sure would if you reject his son. Amen. He's so loving, he's not going to allow your wicked sin in heaven because he loves the rest of us that get to be there because we went through his son. He is that loving, he won't allow your sin up there with the rest of us who've come through the blood of Christ, who've come by way of the cross. He's so loving, he won't allow that nonsense up there. Praise God for that. But he did make a way. He did make a way. You don't have to go to the lake of fire. Amen. But you can choose it. It's your choice. It's your choice. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. Excuse me. Neither can they pass to... Sorry, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he said, Abraham, let him come back from the dead and go tell my brothers. I don't want him to come here. Amen. Those in hell wish they could be soul winners. Amen. They wish they could tell somebody. Do we? Can we step into the sanctuary of God and say, then I saw their end. Then I understood their end. See, if we can get and put ourselves in the place of this rich man here, he sees their end. He's living it. He's not getting out. He's still there right now. Right now, he's still there. Still in torment. Still wanting just that one drop of water. Oh, just one. Still being tormented in that flame. I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He doesn't want them there. He knows how harsh it is. He knows there's no escape. Abraham just told him that. Abraham saith unto him, watch out now, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What did he say? He said, they've got the Bible. They've got the Bible. We don't need fancy gimmicks and stuff to win people to the Lord.
Amen.
If they don't want this, they don't want him. If they don't want the Word of God, they don't want the Savior. If they want to reject this, then leave them wallowing in their sin. All we can do is give them the Bible. That's all we can do. The way of truth. They have the Bible. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Is that true? My, my, my. It's not true, because one did come back from the dead and they don't repent. They reject him. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and they reject him. Maybe somebody in here is rejecting him right now. Because you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm not going to repent. I want to continue my lifestyle. I want to continue my religion. Okay, then die and go to hell. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. It's not me plus the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's not me plus the Mormon Church.
Right.
I am the way. He said, I am the door. I'm the door. You want to get out of here, you got to go through the door. You want to get in here, you got to go through the door. You want to get to heaven? Jesus said, I am the door.
Right.
You don't get to the Father but through Jesus Christ, through the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. They'll repent, though, if one came back from the dead. And he said unto him, verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So don't get all discouraged. You go out, preach the Bible to people. You share the Word of God with them, and they don't get saved. Hey, even if someone came back from the dead and told them, they wouldn't do it. They just need the Word of God. And don't be ashamed or embarrassed to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
To preach the Word of God to people. To tell them, you're going to die in your sins and go straight to hell. How mean of you. How could you dare tell somebody that? Because it's the truth.
Amen.
Man, you can stand here and say, 2 + 2 = 5. And someone comes up to you just real nice and quiet. And like, actually, it's 4. Who do you think you are to judge me, you judgmental pig? So narrow-minded. How dare you? Who do you think you are? It's 5. I think that's ridiculous. That's what everyone does with religion, though.
Amen.
You start telling the truth, and they get mad, and they hate you, and they call you a bunch of names and say how narrow-minded you are. Amen, I am narrow-minded. Praise the Lord. I am so narrow-minded, I believe there's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
I'm so narrow-minded, I believe there's only one way to live. I believe it's a narrow way at that. I believe it's that path that Asaph was on that he was beginning to despise because he took his eyes off of the Lord and he took his eyes off of the main thing and he stopped looking back at eternity and he started looking at the here and now. And we need to get back to where we realize we're strangers and pilgrims in this land, and that'll get our focus right. Our focus to start another church so that somebody else's brother doesn't have to die and go to hell. That's what we need. And if you're here right now and you're going to die and go to hell, get saved. Christ died for you and he loves you. He died for you. He died so you don't have to go to hell. Why are you rejecting it? Why are you spitting in God's face? You say, I'm too embarrassed. What would people think? People here will rejoice, I can tell you that. People here will rejoice. And what will your family think? I don't know. They might get mad at you. But people here will rejoice. Can we get our eyes right? Can we get our focus right? Why do I live this way? Because I see their end. Why are we going to sacrifice to start another church? Why are we going to give up basically all our Saturday, all our Sunday to start another church? Why? Why? We're going to be so busy, we're going to be dog tired, we're going to work all week, then we're going to come bust our hump on Saturday, bust our hump on Sunday. Why are we going to do all that? Why can't we just be like all these other Christians out there and just kind of go to church on Sunday morning? Or better yet, why not go on Saturday night so we can get it out of the way and then we can do what we want with our weekend? Why don't we just do that? And preacher, what in the world are you doing? Preacher, you're almost going on 2 hours here. Come on, it's supposed to be under an hour. Well, why can't we just have it a little more convenient? Because people are going to hell. Amen. That's why we're going to sacrifice. That's why we're going to give up our Sundays.
Amen.
For something that actually matters.
Right.
Not for the nonsense the world tells us to live for. That's why we're going to do it. That's why we're going to sacrifice financially to give to this church plant. And I'm not telling anyone what they have to give. If you don't want to give anything, don't. I don't think that's the case here with anybody. We're going to give because we want to see the kingdom of God furthered. Because we want to see people get the truth. Because, man, can somebody go and reach my dad?
Right.
Can somebody reach my dad? Can someone tell him? I know you can't reach my dad, but there's some little boy out there whose father's about to die. Can we reach him? I think of that all the time. All the time. Can we care enough? Can we get past our fears? Get past our excuses? Because we've all got them. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I'm talking about me. I don't want to get up on Saturday morning and go sometimes. But when I stepped into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Some of you are in here right now and you're facing that end. You're going to be the one that's thrown into hell. God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. As you're cast into the lake of fire. That's what he says, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. It's not like they're going to be escorted in. Come on, let's go. I'm sorry. You know, Angel Michael's going to be there like, oh man, I'm sorry. I tried to talk to him for you, but I'm sorry. You got to go. No, it's going to be gone. Lake of fire. You're done. Get out of here. Prepared for the devil and his angels. That's right. It's prepared for the devil, not for us. But God says, I'm not going to have sin here. That's where you're going. Do you want that? If that's where you're headed, is that what you want? Hey, live it up. I got time. Live it up then. Fight God. Tempt God. Tempt him. You say, I got time. I'm not going to die yet. Go ahead. Be just like Nimrod. Shake your fist in his face and say, okay, God, come on. What do you got? I can fight against you. I can make it. I'll get saved on my deathbed. If you get a deathbed, my dad didn't. My dad didn't. He didn't have a chance. He just reacted to the situation. Cable attached to a PTO on a diesel engine. Big thick cable got wrapped around it. It broke on an oil field. That cable come whipping over his head. He stuck his hand up to stop it. It wrapped around his wrist, wrapped him around a drive shaft. He didn't have no deathbed opportunity. Hey, man, just this past week, died on a ride. He didn't have a deathbed opportunity. You say, this preacher's trying to scare me. That's right, I am.
Amen.
Get saved. Get saved. You got to repent. You better repent. You come to God on His terms. If you need to talk about this, if you want to talk about what it means to be saved, having your sins forgiven, when the music for the invitation starts, you come right down and talk to me. You come right up here and say, preacher, we need to talk. You just come stand right here. I'll step down and I'll talk to you. Christians, are you serious about winning people to the Lord? Maybe you need to come down and kill something, kill your pride, kill your fears on this altar. I mean, kill them, slay them. Be done with them. Kill that sin that's been holding you back. Kill it. Say, God, I'm done with this. Help me. Help me, God. Help me. Kill it. God's calling you right now. If you're lost, He's saying, come get saved. Come get saved. I was in a church service so many times and I felt God calling me to get saved. And I felt it on the inside. And I'm thinking to myself, if I can just fight this, if I can just get through this, then I'll be out of here. Thank God His mercy extended past my stupidity. Yeah, thank God. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Call on the Lord. Ask Him. You can, right now, you can cry out and say, Jesus, save me. God, I don't want to be like that rich man. I don't want to be in torment. I don't want to be in hell. Lord, save me from my sin. God, save me. And He'll do it. He'll give you eternal life. Father, we love You.